Thomas Paine in the morning. 6:23. Fair warning. The Big Wednesday podcast. Big Wednesday podcast could be very interesting. Some good breaking news. I think we'll break it on the More Paine show before that, though, tomorrow night on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. We'll probably break it on there first. So for our folks, subscribers, we'll get the intel first. A lot of other stuff going on, and we'll talk about later. Getting ready to unveil a live show for folks on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. So we're working on that, kicking that around as some of the things that are going on here. And we appreciate the folks on there now that are watching the video version of this podcast, the video podcast. Appreciate it. The news doesn't slow down. Unfortunately, it gets worse and faster, and sometimes it's too much to stomach, but we journey on anyhow as Americans and try to tackle whatever challenges come our way. That's what we've done for over 240 years, and that's one of the things that makes this country a special place. Although it's becoming increasingly difficult to keep your chin up, as I say at the end of a lot of shows, keep your chin up out there. God bless. I usually sign off with that. It's getting tougher. I understand that. We're at ground zero in many respects as far as information coming into here and stuff we're working on. And people share their personal challenges with us, whether financial or marital or emotional or career-wise. Business-wise, they're struggling. A lot of people out there are struggling. What I've been trying to do and what we've been trying to do here for a long time is provide people with insight so you can make educated assessments when it comes to politics and how it affects your life. And I think we've done a very good job of that without putting spin on it and blowing smoke up your know-what, so... Normally, I would say ass there, but I guess I'm trying to be better. First headline. Let's move right into the news because there's a lot of interesting news to tackle. As usual. If this wants to cooperate with me. One man show is hard to do, folks. It's, a lot of these people you listen to, they have engineers, they have producers. As we experience growing pains, we're doing the best we can with what we have to work with. Coronavirus has significantly weakened and could disappear without a vaccine. Top doctor reveals, which is strange to see this because I'm not a top doctor, but I did reveal myself today on Twitter that it looks like a review of all the data is that it has... Coronavirus or COVID-19 has died off significantly, and I asked, why would we need a vaccine if that is the case? So here we are, come full circle in a matter of hours from my tweet, just from my observations to this story. I think they're using some kind of strange magic. You come up with this COVID-19 scheme. The coronavirus has significantly weakened and could even disappear on its own, according to a top Italian doctor, Dr. Matteo Bassetti, the head of the infectious disease clinic at the San Martino Hospital, said in an interview Sunday that COVID-19 patients would have had died 2 or 3 months ago are now recovering. The clinical impression I have is that the virus is changing its severity, Bassetti told the Telegraph in London. In March and early April, the patterns were completely different. People were coming to the emergency department with a very difficult to manage illness, and they needed oxygen and ventilation. Some developed pneumonia. He explained, now in the past 4 weeks, the picture has completely changed in terms of patterns. It was like an aggressive tiger in March and April, but now it's like a wildcat, Bassetti said. Even elderly patients aged 80 or 90 are now sitting up in bed and they are breathing without help. The same patients would have died in 2 or 3 days before. In fact, Bassetti said COVID-19 may disappear even without a vaccine. Bad news to guys like Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates and that old criminal cabal. Yes, probably it could go away completely without a vaccine, he said. We have fewer and fewer people infected, and it could end up with the virus dying out, he said in his interview. That's very interesting. I still think they're using some strange magic, though, to come up with this stuff. More than strange magic, I would say, concocted into science, junk science, fueled by fear. The worst kind of stuff, guys. Just, you can always smell the fear game when the feds get involved. That's all they really have. To me, it's just really been surprising as a Trump supporter for a long time, and that the White House will get played the way it has by guys like Fauci and Burks and Redfield. And I've talked about it ad nauseum, so we're not going to go into it. I just want to drop it. It's a head scratcher, to be honest with you. We may have something working on Fauci too. I have to make a decision. I've been offered to get involved in a project, and I'm not sure I have the time or the, definitely have the contacts and the wherewithal. I just don't know if it's on the burner, on the front burner. So things develop, I'll let you know, but it could be very, very interesting. Having to do with the good doctor. Here he is again. Just by chance. Some people call me the space cowboy. Fauci, some Americans have an inconceivable distrust for authority. That the song The Joker would be appropriate for this guy. Dr. Anthony Fauci believes that the United States faces a problem of anti-science bias and a lack of trust and authority from the general public. Yeah, it's everybody else's problem. You never notice these guys? You're the problem out there, not him. This guy's been in government for 40 fucking years. And you're the problem. The people that have been paying him, you're the problem to Fauci. Jesus, goes on and on and on. I chuckle and I laugh because I don't know what else to do. I can't pound my fist against the desk and act like some people do, and they have this rage thing going. That's not real. That's like play acting. You can't be that angry all the time. Your head would explode. So I use like a cynical laugh that I use in my regular everyday conversations, breaking balls or discussing things. Just like, it's kind of like shaking your head saying, Jesus, you know, Jesus. And it seems to piss a lot of people off that I laugh at everything, but I don't think you understand exactly what I'm doing. And it's a little harsh yesterday. I listened back to some of the parts of the show. I get frustrated. That's all. I get frustrated that enough people aren't out there are listening to the wrong people. They're being misguided on a daily basis. They don't get the big picture. I'm not talking about the folks listening here, but other people. They're misguided by misinformation on the left and the right. It's upsetting. And they keep going back for more. So I can't fix it. So I get frustrated that I can't fix it. I'm a fixer. I like to fix things. I can't fix people. History has shown, we've been doing this 4 years now, people check into True Pundit, or now they're listening to the podcast, and they come. Usually they get frustrated because I'm saying stuff that makes them uncomfortable, even though it's true. And they think, oh, this guy's like, what he's saying can't be right because no one else is saying this. Everybody else is saying something different. And then it turns out I'm right time and time again. Then they come back and they apologize. I'm sorry. Sorry I left. Now I know. It's okay. It's an evolution. I'm glad to have folks back. When they leave, I say, they'll probably be back. Because the truth is consistent. You don't have to worry about it. If you're telling the truth, you never have to look over your shoulder and say, what did I say 6 months ago? What did I say 7 months ago? You don't have to worry about that. Call it like it is. Like, well, I think we're going to be breaking, like I said, some big news tonight on More Pain Show. So you're not going to want to miss that. And if you haven't subscribed yet, to get your money's worth, believe me. Patreon.com/TruePundit and or Subscribestar.com/TruePundit for the video podcast. The More Pain Show usually runs 2 hours, 2+ hours on Tuesday nights. So we're breaking stuff on there. So some stuff in the next 48 hours that'll turn your head. Now, we were discussing Dr. Fauci, so let's get back to it. What a difference a day makes. I was pretty sour yesterday. Now I got that out of my system. I feel refreshed somewhat. I was able to vent. Hey, if you can't vent on your own show, what the hell good is it? Here's Fauci. One of the problems we face in the United States is that, unfortunately, there's a combination of anti-science bias that people are, for reasons that are sometimes inconceivable and not understandable. They just don't believe science, and they don't believe authority, Fauci said. Dude, maybe we just don't believe you. I mean, countless text spent on this guy in Word and stories and podcasts we've done just here. You're not a believable person. You're a liar. So it's not inconceivable, and it's not understandable, like you said. You're a fucking liar and a fraud. When they see someone up in the White House, which has an air of authority to it, who is talking about science, there are some people who just don't believe that, and that is unfortunate. Science and medicine are two different things. What the hell does science have to do with COVID-19? It's either a pandemic or it wasn't. You said it was a pandemic. That's medical. We have a medical emergency. You didn't say it was a fucking science emergency. Somebody didn't torch their shirt on a Bunsen burner or have to use the eyewash station after dissecting a frog in biology class. It's like a science emergency. Don't mince words, Fauci. Medicine and science, although related, are two different things. And you got up here and said we were in a medical emergency. Turned out it wasn't true. See, I don't even know what he's talking about. This is interesting because it gives you a window into this bird brain's head. Science is truth, and if you go by the evidence and by the data, you are speaking the truth, he said. And it's amazing sometimes the denial there is. I think the people who believe are people who understand and have trust in someone who has a very, very long track record of always speaking the truth based on evidence. Is he saying he's the guy with the long... He's got a long track record, all right, of screwing up and being a science dunce. Science isn't truth, by the way. I got to look up. Just for the hell of it. I think science is more of a process of finding the truth more than anything. Science, the intellectual and practical activity encompassing the systemic and systematic study of the structure and behavior of the physical and natural world through observation and experiment. Exactly. Observing and experimenting are not the truth. It is a give and take, a tug of war of research and development, of making mistakes. That's what science is. Science is not the truth. Science is the process of getting to the truth. Science is the process of formulating good medical care. This guy's a fucking idiot. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. Somebody made the observation a few weeks ago. They think the guy is loony or he's losing it. Possible. I mean, you read a science magazine, somebody comes out with a study, everybody challenges it. Nah, that's not right. These other studies doesn't match up. Science is a give and take. It's a process. It's like a tug of war, as I said, of intel, trying to get to the proper answers, trying to find the proper medicine, proper pharmaceuticals to treat something. And if he thinks he's the guy with the long track record, just ask Dr. Judy Mikovits about that and other people. People with a very long track record of always speaking the truth based on the evidence don't get investigated by the FBI 2-3 times. My job is to give public health based on facts, based on evidence, and to give it honestly, both to the vice president, the president, and the general public, Fauci said. I have the responsibility, which I take very seriously, of always being consistent and basing what you say on evidence. Didn't this guy change his mind like 6 times on masks? Whether you should wear masks. What's this guy talking about? He's all over the map. There are times when you don't have all the evidence you need, but you have to make judgments based on both prior experience and the degree of evidence that you have. I thought science was truth. That's not science. That's conjecture. That's junk science. It's very basic. You can't say that science is based on truth and you're all about providing the truth and then come back and say that you don't always have enough information to make proper judgment, so you just kind of shoot from the hip based on what you have. That's a good way to kill somebody. This guy's a dangerous guy. I've said that. Hell, by the time this fucking story is over, I might make my decision on the project. His ego is so big, he can't even see how full shit he is. At a time when there was a shortage of PPE and a shortage of masks, many health officials, myself included, were saying masks are not perfect. No, he actually said you don't need a mask. He didn't say anything about masks are not perfect. He said, no, you don't really need a mask. And the reason he was doing that was so that medical professionals could get masks. So he was lying to the public. So let's go back to a statement where it says that it's amazing sometimes the denial there is. I think the people who believe are people who understand and have trust in someone who has a very, very long track record of always speaking the truth based on evidence. But he lied about masks, about surgical masks. He said there you didn't need them so that hospitals could hoard them and have an opportunity to hoard them so that the public couldn't go out and protect themselves. Let's go back. This is like if you were a prosecutor against this fucking weirdo. You would just use his own words against him during cross-examination or when you have him on the stand. So how does hiding that from the public, how does that jibe with my job is to give public health based on facts, based on evidence, and to give it honestly both to the vice president, the president, and to the general public. How can you give honest information when you're lying to them? I have the responsibility, which I take very seriously, of always being consistent and basing what you say on evidence. You didn't do that with the masks. You lied. That's not based on evidence. However, you are being consistent. You are a serial liar. That part of the consistency you have down. My God. The people who really need the masks, the N95s and other masks, the surgical masks, are the people in the healthcare community who, in fact, are putting themselves in harm's way every day to take care of sick people. So it would be terrible if all of a sudden everybody started hoarding masks and they weren't available and the healthcare providers wouldn't have them. So what you're saying, we're not supposed to be wearing masks now. So let's just go over this. He said you didn't need a mask. Then, whenever all the hospitals had their masks and everything, he came out and said, everybody's got to wear a mask. Everybody. Okay? And then it's come out that so many different people have said medically, there's no proof that wearing a mask benefits you if you're out here in the public. It might actually harm you. So then he said, you don't have to worry about masks. How the hell is that being consistent and truthful? That's just one example. The guy's a serial liar and a fraud. You have to go back and listen to the podcast we did with Dr. Judy Mikovits. I don't know. We did two with her. We did one with Bobby Kennedy Jr. that called him a liar. And he's an interesting guy. Bobby Kennedy Jr., I think he's going to sue Fauci and Gates. I think he's in the process of putting a suit together. That's what he told me. So that's going to be interesting to watch. But this guy is, he's just a guy who thinks he can say anything and that it'll sell. And unfortunately for him, it's not working. It probably would have worked back when there were three TV networks. But not any longer. People have, you know, and you really have to think about and consider. Dr. Judy Mikovits' book, I have to look it up. It was like not doing very well. I guess it was holding its own when it came out, but it wasn't really kicking butt. And then it went from to number one on Amazon and made the New York Times bestseller list. She has two books. I want to make sure I get it right. Plague of Corruption is the one she has out now. All About Fauci. And her previous book, Plague, came out in 2014. Hammers this guy. And a lot of people are reading. A lot of people are taking notice. In that first podcast I was the first guy to interview her. That thing went crazy viral all over the world. So people are listening. So Fauci, what he's doing, he's out there basically trying to do PR for himself, saying, I don't understand why people won't believe such a trustworthy guy like me. I am Mr. Medicine. I'm King Fauci. What's the matter with you people? You people are stubborn fools. It's like, come on, buddy. The cat's out of the bag on you. It's literally crazy. And I said, say it again. I don't understand why Trump put any faith in this guy. Maybe he was like threatened or something. Trump, I don't know. I wouldn't have had this guy anywhere near. I wouldn't let this guy go on a tour of the White House with a grade school class. But it is what it is. Moving on. Headline, John Kerry, from one idiot to another. John Kerry's recent chilling statement about 2020 sounds a lot like election intimidation. Kerry, remember this guy? Fortunate son, Kerry. Former Secretary of State John Kerry raised the possibility that a victory by President Trump could provoke a revolution in the United States, claiming that Republicans have a history of denying voting rights to Democratic voters. Now, the difference between a Republican-sparked revolution and what we're seeing now is, on this side, we would be fighting for our constitutional rights to maintain those and our civil rights, not free Nike sneakers and flat-screen TVs. That's when you know the revolution gets real. When people are carrying exercising their Second Amendment right in the streets, not carrying around a Samsung.
If people don't have an adequate access to the ballot, I mean, that's the stuff for which revolutions are built,
Kerry said during a virtual appearance at the Copenhagen Democracy Summit. Hey, how'd you get there, John? How'd you get to Copenhagen? Did you swim? Did you windsurf across the Atlantic? Oh, no, you took your private plane. Yeah, Mr. Save the Environment.
If you begin to deny people the capacity of your democracy to work, even the Founding Fathers wrote in the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, we have an inherent right to challenge that. And I'm worried that increasingly people are disaffected.
Kerry implied that such chicanery contributed to his defeat in 2004 and former Vice President Al Gore's loss in 2000, maintaining that this pattern unfolded recently in Georgia. Apparent reference to Stacey Abrams' defeat in the state's 2018 gubernatorial race. That history, as he views it, undermines U.S. claims to Western leadership.
We're not meeting the standard of what ought to be meeting, so I'm deeply concerned about protecting the vote,
he said. It is a lot of fun to do the aristocrat voice. Kerry didn't mention Republicans explicitly, but he maintained that there was a history of
certain officials of a particular party purposely making it difficult for the other party to vote where they control those matters.
He predicted that Trump would lose handily, but warned that Republicans would
pull out every stop in the closing weeks of the race.
Kerry. Carry on, my wayward son. It's a different carry. He is a fortunate son, for real. Oh, yeah, we're doing good here on time. Next up. Georgia Bureau of Investigation responds to DA's charges. We weren't consulted. The investigation is not over. This guy is a real winner. District Attorney Paul Howard. I think he's got... Let me look this over real quick. This guy's like under investigation himself. The DA is like the target of at least one criminal investigation, I think two. This is where the DA is going to end up. Let Sam Cooke tell you.
I hear something saying.
You can't make this up. He charged the Atlanta police.
That's the sound of the men.
I'm reading this.
On the chain.
This guy might be on a chain gang before it's over. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation responded to Fulton County District Attorney Paul Howard's press conference, in which he announced criminal charges against the two officers who were involved in the recent incident involving the death of Ray Shard Brooks, by stating that they were not notified that it was going to happen and that the investigation was not over. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation was not aware of today's press conference before it was conducted. Statement continued. We were not consulted on the charges filed by the district attorney. Despite today's occurrence, the GBI will complete its mission of completing an impartial and thorough investigation of the incident, and we will submit the file once completed to the Fulton County District Attorney's Office. Like, I know some of these GBI guys, they're real deal. Very thorough and professional. If we ever have a couple beers or something, or tequila together, I'll tell you about a case I work with them on, and it was out of control. These guys are... When they commit to an investigation, they don't play. The GBI should just take over for the FBI. A GBI statement regarding Howard's decision to announce charges against the two officers come as Howard is facing an election runoff and reportedly under criminal investigation. On top of that, he's been repeatedly accused of sexual harassment. Hey, no big deal. Sexual harassment, that's small potatoes. The GBI has opened an investigation of Fulton County District Attorney Paul Howard in his use of nonprofit money to funnel at least $140,000 in City of Atlanta funds to supplement his salary. This guy is running like a Clinton scam. Clinton Foundation-esque. Everybody's using the nonprofits thanks to the Clintons. They paved the way. The criminal investigation comes at a time when Howard, Fulton County's DA since 1997, is being challenged in the Democratic primary for re-election and is facing allegations of sexual harassment, which he strongly denies. Howard is also facing a state ethics complaint for not disclosing he was a chief executive of the nonprofit People Partnering for Progress. Should be People Partnering for Payoffs. In his personal financial statements, he didn't list the nonprofit. On April 15th, the Georgia Transparency and Campaign Finance Commission charged Howard with a dozen disclosure violations, most of them involving the People Partnering for Progress. This guy, he shouldn't even be in office. He's a menace. See what happens? People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Now, this is a story that is going to dovetail, as I said weeks ago, and I continue to say, we're still on the COVID-19 honeymoon, also being enjoyed by President Trump and his administration, but the honeymoon is soon coming to a screeching halt, where the bride is going to be storming off, not very happy with the way it went. And that bride, of course, being homeowners and mortgage companies. You're going to really start to see the bottom of the housing market fall out here, and you're going to start to see, I think, and I've said this, and now everybody now in the financial media is starting to catch up, and the business media is starting to catch up, and this will probably become a story du jour from here on in. The bottom will drop out of the foreclosures, evictions, as rent and mortgages come due. And I think it's going to be ugly. So this goes along with that. Headline, nearly half of Americans consider selling their home as COVID crushes finances. The bad news is it's definitely not a seller's market. A new research offers a glimpse into struggling households, discovers out of 2,000 American homeowners polled, over half, 52% of respondents say they routinely are worried about making future mortgage payments, and nearly half considered selling their home because of the inability to service mortgage payments. The study, conducted by one poll in the National Association of Realtors, determined 81% of respondents had experienced unexpected financial stress. It's going to be our house in the middle of a courtroom before it's over. 81% of folks who responded said because of coronavirus, it's created unexpected financial stress. Over half, 56%, reduced spending so they could service mortgage payments. These numbers are early, and they're going to get larger. Since mid-March, or about that time when the lockdowns began, nearly half, 47% of homeowners have explored alternative ways of making money. About two-thirds of respondents, 64%, in fact, started side projects, while 53% sold valuables to supplement income. That's a bad sign. Especially when you're selling valuables in a down market, collectibles in a down market. In other words, you're not going to get compensation anywhere near the worth of the items, yet you are compelled to sell them anyway, almost in a panic. That's bad, obviously. In a separate report, more than 4 million homeowners are in a mortgage forbearance plan, representing 7.5% of all mortgages. Delinquencies are set to surpass the Great Recession, which peaked at 10%. 10% is going to look like a training film, my opinion. Oxford Economics said 15% of homeowners would fall behind on their monthly mortgage payments in a tidal wave of delinquencies, which was similar to the prediction by Moody's chief economist Mark Zandi, who said that as many as 30% of Americans with home loans, or around 15 million households, may stop paying if the U.S. economy remains closed through the summer or beyond. Guys, this is... I'm not looking for trophies, like I told you so trophies. I've always had my pulse on Main Street and working in Citigroup for so long and so many varied tasks inside Citi. I understand these things. Also, coming from the School of Hard Knocks, I understand these things. Everything you, I've been through it all, unfortunately. The full text of these stories are on our website, by the way. On True Pundit under Pain in the Morning, and I have the date, 6/23/20. You can get the whole schmeal, all the facts. I'm just giving the highlights. But folks who follow me regularly will know that I did say that some time ago about you haven't seen anything yet when it comes to mortgages and foreclosures. That may really, that could swing the election, that starts popping to September and October. A month out before the election, you start messing with people's houses. Guess what they're not going to do? They're not going to leave the house to go vote. So, I mean, it's dangerous territory. Okay, new headline. Never-Trumper George Conway is trying to sabotage Trump's next event. This is Kellyanne Conway's husband. This guy is like something else. Never-Trumper George Conway appears to be attempting to sabotage President Trump's next event, just one day after the president's critics took credit for a TikTok prank, which they claim flooded the campaign with fake RSVPs, thereby heightening expectations for Saturday's rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, attended by 6,200 people. The president is scheduled to speak at a Students for Trump event in Phoenix on Tuesday. However, Trump critics are seemingly hoping to bombard his upcoming campaign events by artificially inflating the numbers with fake RSVPs, much like what Trump critics say occurred on Saturday. Enter Conway, who is getting better at this. Conway, a husband to President Donald Trump's advisor Kellyanne Conway, and a central figure behind the Never Trump Super PAC, the Lincoln Project, seemingly attempted to contribute to what Trump critics hope will continue as a trend throughout the campaign, sharing an article to his 1.2 million Twitter followers titled "How to Apply for Tickets to President Trump's Phoenix Students for Trump's Event on June 23rd. Goes on and on and on. Again, you can get the full text on our website. And the one thing I think is kind of ironic the Dems cheering what happened in Tulsa. Basically, TikTok, which is a Chinese company, was used, obviously, with foreign influence to derail a U.S. president's rally, and the Democrats were cheerleading the whole time after it. Isn't that what these guys bitched about? About Russian collusion, Russian tampering with the election? Yes. So they're congratulating the Chinese for doing the same thing? So you have to understand, these people are communists in the media on the other side. They'll do whatever it takes, even if it's to break the law, to get rid of Trump. They've proven that time and time again. The question is, will any of them be indicted? You know where I stand on that. But to cheerlead the Chinese for tampering with the U.S. election? It's a little ironic, right? All the tantrums about the Russians. You don't have to do anything. These guys show you their true colors. You just have to sit back. They're not bright enough. They're filled with so much disdain that they can't harbor their hatred for certain things, including America. They always show their hand. Just got to sit back and wait. Minnesota City Malls removing chief from job title, saying the term is offensive to Native Americans. Chief is now gone. I hope that doesn't include the chief crunchy ice cream bar Fudgy Wudgy guy cruises around with. How are you supposed to order a chief crunchy now? What are you supposed to say? Give me a Native American crunchy, please. I'd be like, hey, kid, we got Chief Crunchy or a Crunch Bar. There's no Native American Crunchy. City Council of Duluth, Minnesota is considering removing the word chief from the job titles of top administrators at the urging of the mayor, who says the term is offensive to indigenous people. But it was okay to steal the entire country from them. Sorry. It's steal all their land, but don't disparage them verbally. And don't forget to shoot them in the face back in the day, too. Or the government, or give them blankets with smallpox on it. But don't say the word chief. Don't do that. Blue Sky Allman Brothers, written by Dickie Betts for his Native American girlfriend, who became his wife at the time, if you're wondering why.
Now, what does this song have to do with the story? This is bullshit.
That's what it has to do. Every now and then, you'll pick up a little trivia here. For music. The Star Tribune reported that during a news conference Wednesday, Mayor Emily Larson giving women a bad name all over the world, these bird brain mayors, implored city council members to vote to approve the change next week so that we have more inclusive leadership and less language that's rooted in hurt and offensive intentional marginalization. Yeah. Right. Alicia Kozlowski, the city's community relations officer and a member of the Grand Portage and Fond du Lac bands of Lake Superior, Chippewa, is on board with the initiative. She told the outlet, "I think there are other titles that we have the opportunity to use to steer away from language that may put people down based off the race or culture." I don't know what that's the longest sentence. Fond du Lac. Don't mess around. That was in Wisconsin. as well. Kozlowski said the term chief is used as a racial epithet, and it turns into microaggression. Unlike macroaggression, when you steal the United States from Native Americans. No problem with that. Just don't call the leader of the Indians chief while you're slitting his throat and taking over his real estate. Mayor Larson said the city is also looking at changing the titles of their police and fire chiefs. What's going to happen? You're going to have to send the fire chief smoke signals, try to get his attention. Larson, who was elected the city's first female mayor in 2015, called for the city's legal foundation to be tweaked with a more gender neutral language to better reflect that the mayor is not going to be a man. Sounds like the mayor's not going to be a woman much longer either. All right, let me rephrase that before it upsets a lot of... They're not going to have a woman for mayor much longer. Everybody calm down. Put the phone down. Don't have to speed dial your lawyer. Headline. Oh, here we go. Mayor Lightweight, Chicago. Lightfoot/Lightweight. At least 100 people shot on Father's Day weekend in Mayor Lightweight's Chicago. Have to go a little Magic Sam. At least 100 people were shot, 14 killed in Mayor Lori Lightfoot's Democratic Chicago over Father's Day weekend 2020. And Black lives apparently don't matter in Chicago. The Chicago Sun-Times reports that the first non-fatal shooting of the weekend occurred around 6:30 p.m. Friday, when a vehicle pulled up near a 35-year-old woman and the occupants opened fire. The woman was transported to the hospital with a gunshot wounds to her arm. Every weekend. This happens every weekend. The Mayor Lightweight's Chicago. But she's raiding churches. She's raiding churches where people, quote-unquote, violate social distancing. NBC Chicago reports that the last non-fatal shooting of the weekend took place around 12:30 a.m. Monday, when an 18-year-old woman was shot while driving in the 5100 block of South Calumet. The first fatal shooting of the weekend occurred at 9:52 p.m. Friday, when a car pulled up on three men and the occupants opened fire. Two 34-year-old men and a 43-year-old woman were shot, and the wounds of the 34-year-old men proved fatal. Two of them died. The last fatal shooting of the weekend occurred just after midnight Monday, when occupants of a car opened fire on a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old as they walked in an alley. What the fuck? Don't worry. They're worried about social distancing out there.
You don't have a mask on.
Jesus. You can't make this stuff up. These people are so twisted up, I don't even know what to make of it. They have to be doing this on purpose somehow. It'll all come out. Problem is... where will we be when it does come out? Where will we be as a country? That's the question. Video. Another Seattle CHOP or CHAD shooting leaves one seriously wounded. I thought the mayor said this was a summer of love. Right? Everybody hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Summer of love. It's a street party. It's like a block party. Let your soul shine. Get together. Community. Unicorn rainbows. Gunshots, death, blood. She left that part out. This is the worst-run Democratic hellhole in the country, per capita. It has to be one of the more violent ones. We'd have to call Mayor Lightweight and compare numbers. One person was seriously wounded and rushed to the hospital late Sunday in the second shooting in Seattle's CHOP/CHAZ protest zone in less than 48 hours, according to police. In the latest incident, the person arrived in a private vehicle and was in serious condition at Harborview Medical Center. It wasn't immediately clear when or where within the zone Sunday night shooting took place. The Seattle Fire Department arrived at the scene at 10:46 p.m. and went to the staging area near the zone's perimeter. Fire Department spokesman David Cupero told the Seattle Times. Why is this still going on? Seriously, why? What is happening? Why has this been left to fester? How many people warned that there would be bloodshed and death? So-called leaders, they don't care if you die in the street. They don't care if it furthers their political ideology or their political goal, which is obviously to create some type of a nationwide unrest to try to oust Trump from the White House and the Republican-controlled White House. That could be the only reason they're doing it. So they don't have no problem to tear their shitty. I was going to say tear their shitty. They just start calling it the shitty. The inner shitty. Oh, we're going to sing Soul Shine. Yeah. We're gonna hold hands. We're going to reinvent community. Yeah, right. Government Mule. Boy, that's prophetic. Great band. We're all government mules. But at what point don't you understand that these people will put you in danger, will put your business in danger, your property in danger, things you work for your whole life? They'll torch it if it means that they can further their political ideology. And it's like a conspiracy, a national conspiracy. All these people are on the same page. Somebody along the line has told them street riots, picking on police and such will help them gain the White House in November. Of course, that remains to be seen, but probably not done more people in this CHAZ CHOP area are going to bite the dust. There should be a lot of lawyers out there warming up some cases against these criminals, I would think. I wasn't trying to besmirch Mr. Haynes or Government Mule, but the song was fitting. Let's see. Gotta love this one. This woman's great. Yeah, you want to read this on our website. Nashville liquor store owner, 88, explains why she shot an alleged shoplifter. I'm fed up. She gunned this dude down. She's not playing. We'll play the theme from Cops now that they've taken the show off the air. I'm not making that up. Live PD is gone, and I think Cops is gone too. You can't show criminals in their true element. It's racist. Fucked up bird brains we have to stomach on. A Nashville liquor store owner fired her snub-nosed revolver at a suspect who was trying to steal alcohol. The 88-year-old said she was fed up and only fired to scare off the alleged thief. She was arrested for aggravated assault, and the person she shot is expected to survive. A Nashville liquor store owner, Mae Boise, an 88-year-old widow who stands 5'3" and weighs 115 pounds, got fed up in her store of always being robbed. So when she shot an alleged shoplifter, she didn't seem so repentant. So it doesn't seem that way. Don't mess with this lady. Old school. 88, right? Go back 88 years. This is a different country. God bless this woman.
Are you saying it's okay to shoot somebody like that? I mean, is that what you're advocating, violence?
Yeah. She told police she grabbed her late mother, Mary's 38 caliber Smith & Wesson snub-nose revolver and shot at the suspect who was trying to steal alcohol, according to an affidavit. I did what I had to do. I hope word gets out on the street that I'm fed up and I'm not taking it anymore. Yes. Put the word out on the street. Don't mess with grandma. You get a lead salad. She told the New York Post Saturday, you've got to stick up for yourself sometimes. Damn right. It takes a 5'3", 88-year-old, 115-pound woman to lead the way. Or all these guys who had guns that were marching around Virginia. You ain't gonna take my rights away, boy. We gon'. Where are all those tough guys at? This woman is leading by example. Those guys are hiding in a corner somewhere. Fetal position. I did what I had to do, added Boise. She's now out on a $10,000 bond. After you've been played for a fool by people stealing from you for years, you get fed up. And don't put me in this category of a little old lady. I know how to take care of myself. Can we get this woman on the coronavirus task force in the White House? Maybe she can stick up for us, because I think we've been played for a fool by people stealing money from us. She said she wasn't aiming for the alleged thief, but instead shot the suspect in the back. Whoops. I never shot a gun before, Boise said, but I guess it's something that comes natural. I aimed at the floor to scare him. The elderly businesswoman works 6 days a week at the shop she's owned since 1994. I'm a people person, she said. I like to work. Authorities said it might be 2 years before they give her back her confiscated gun. I told them, shit, I might be dead by then, Boise said. But the law is the law. Hey. God bless Mae Boise. God bless her. Like I said, what'd she say? Very prophetic. A lot of tough guys out there who are talking about, man, you mess with the Constitution, you're going to see what happens. Yeah? Oh, I haven't seen anything happening. Where are you guys at now? I'm out here every day, sticking and moving. Where's everybody else? I'm not talking about the people listening here. You folks are excluded. At least you have some skin in the game here. She said it was very prophetic. I like that she put the word out on the street that she's fed up and not taking it anymore. I think the street's gonna know. After you've been played for a fool by people stealing from you for years, you get fed up. I did what I had to do. Are you sure she's just 88 years old? She sounds a lot like the people back in the 1770s who got fed up with paying and getting played for a fool by people stealing their money. That was only for like 3 or 4 or 5% tax. Now you're paying 50 and 60 and still sitting at home. I'll have to look her up next time I'm down there. Might be doing a little pinging across the country in a month. Little road trip down through that part of the country, talking to people, doing some remote shots, some remote shows, talking to people. And I'm looking forward to it if everything goes off as planned. We appreciate all the folks on patreon.com/truepundit and or subscribestar.com/truepundit, where we do the podcast, the video podcast, like today. You get to see my new look. My new look. I've been doing a lot of yard work, so I'm starting to look like that guy in the Dos Equis commercial. That's what my relatives say. You're starting to look like, yeah, you should have a glass of whiskey in your hand. With the gray hair, the glasses, and the gray beard, the glasses, and the suntan. We appreciate the support on there. I think tomorrow night's More Pain. You're going to want to watch that show and then follow up again on Wednesday. I have something big planned for Wednesday as well on the Big Wednesday podcast. In addition to that, we'll do a Pain in the Morning on Wednesday as well, as we always do. We appreciate your support. Take care of yourself and God bless.
But it's getting better.